Welcome to the Fully Express podcast.
We are your hosts, Samantha and Karenna.
This is a show where we invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We believe that if you crave more, you are meant for more. There is room for all of us to be fully expressed.
Along with the show, we've created a virtual community to connect you with fellow listeners. Make sure to check out the Fully Expressed community membership. You'll find the link to join in the show notes and on our website.
So excited to see you there.
Enjoy this new episode.
Welcome to today's episode on the Fully Expressed podcast. We have a really exciting guest that's going to bring you a whole new flavor of conversation. To introduce our guest today, we have Pam, I should ask you, Covarrubias?
How do you say Covarrubias.
Covarrubias. Okay, so Pam Covarrubias is a coach, a clinical EFT practitioner, a speaker, a podcaster, and a recovering procrastinator. Grounded in liberation principles and trauma-informed practices, she supports first-generation women, femmes, and femmes in the U.S., rejecting Calita culture. If you don't know what Calita is, it means calladita, means quiet. So she's rejecting quiet culture. She advocates against silencing and submission. As the host and as the globally acclaimed podcast, Café con Pam, Pam shares candid, thoughtful, provoking insights from diverse voices, offering valuable resources for mental health, business success, community, and driving positive change.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you so much for being here. I think that in itself just kind of captures everything that you're doing. And I'm so excited to share this with the listeners because I think most of us, when we talk about calladita culture, right, so many of us don't realize that we are experiencing a system that wants us to be quiet.
Suppressed, quiet, worker bees, yeah.
Overlooked, overwhelmed, underpaid.
Yeah.
And silenced.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. We're excited.
Yes.
I would love to kind of kick things off as like, what was like your experience with calladita culture or quiet culture in your world?
Yeah, it started a long time ago, and I would even say generations, frankly, because growing up a Latina, first generation, eldest daughter, I grew up with a very Catholic grandmother, and she was like an avid, every day, 6 o'clock, she was on her way to Mass, and I was that little girl that questioned, like, why? Why do you go to church every day? Why do we eat that thing? Why the Virgin? Why not, like, why? Why was Jesus a man? And like, why? And so that was the first time with asking my grandma questions when she said, calladita te ves más bonita. You look prettier when you're quiet. And that is something that kept repeating itself, that saying, throughout my lifetime. But the first time I remember I lost my voice was when I was 6 in kindergarten. And it wasn't from parents or from people in my family. It was from my peers. So I was 6. I was in kindergarten and I loved theater. And I was picked to be the main character for a play. And so I was one in the whole kindergarten class. And so all the other kids were like, oh, you think you're special. You think blah, blah, blah. And so that's when the first time I lost my voice. I performed, but there's a picture of me when I'm 6 and my friend is next to me. And I'm the only one that was a chicken because I was the main character. I don't remember the storyline. I need to ask my mom about that. But my friend was a rabbit. And so she's in her rabbit costume and I'm in the chicken costume and I'm the only one that's yellow. And you can see it in my face how I'm so sad because that was the first time that I was silenced. That was the first time I felt like I didn't belong. That was the first time I didn't feel my power because while I was the main character, I wasn't. And so that took me into this like journey of not really owning my power, my truth and who I was. And so then, you know, life became life and here we are.
I love that. I mean, that's a powerful story.
Yeah. And it's so little.
Yeah. How did you remember that, though?
Did a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did how did you bring yourself to remember like that was the moment?
Well, I do tapping. So I've been tapping for 20 years. I discovered tapping when I realized I was a procrastinator. So one of my teachers literally stopped me after one project and said, this could be worthy of an award. But because you did it yesterday, we're not going to do anything with it. But the idea, the concept, I studied design. And so she was like, the idea, the concept, everything could be a word. Like, I could send this to get an award. But it's halfway done. You did it yesterday. I know you did it yesterday. I can tell
oh,
you did
I
it yesterday.
Saying,
you know,
right?
Like, it was, yep. It was yeah. Just, you procrastinated.
Got it.
we got a month.
Yeah.
And then I was like, the night before, yeah, pulling all nighters.
You're like, I got it. I'll do it.
I've done that.
I've done it too. Yeah, absolutely.
So many of us.
Yeah.
There's like type A people sometimes are procrastinators as well because we're like, I can do that so fast.
Well, also there's something about
under pressure.
Yeah. I think that what you just said, the thrive under pressure, the amount of times that I hear that, like, oh, I'll get shit done when I have to, you know,
right.
I mean, there's like this absolutely pressure point that we're waiting to be up against the wall. And be like, okay, now I can execute it.
Yeah.
But we also, I think in a lot of ways, we trust ourselves to execute. So I'd love your perspective on that. Like, why do we get to a place of like, well, I thrive when I'm up against the wall?
Yeah. I've got 1 hour.
Yeah.
I can do it.
One day.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's proven. Like, there's science that says there's certain people that actually do thrive under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And based on my research, and we'll talk about the wounds, it's the wound of power, because when you can undercompensate or you can overcompensate in the wound of power. And the wound of power is when you either give your power away or take it all the way, and you protect yourself from somebody taking it away. And so pushing things off is like you saying, I'm going to take my power when I need to and I want to. And so back then,
like a sense of control as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I get to decide when I use my power,
correct,
not when. You tell me that I need to use my power, or so like I'm choosing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because I can in this moment. Not when you assigned it to me, but when I get it done.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
I'm getting a little bit chills.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, I see myself.
We're people pleasers. We're recovering people pleasers, both of us. So I feel like that's very relatable.
And I'm sure.
Totally. It's a wonder commitment. So that moment led me into this deep exploration. I was 19 years old and I was like, I'm broken. Because I would wonder, when you get those assignments, you literally get a month, you know? And so I would often like go to class and see my peers literally like for weeks planning and doing all the things. And I'm like, I'll do it when I want to because I can. And so that when my teacher told me that, it really led me into the spiral of like, oh, maybe I am broken. My brain is broken because I can't bring myself to do that. Meaning like I can't. When she assigns it, I can't go to my desk and get on
it. Start working on it.
Yeah. It just didn't work like that. And so that led me into this exploration of how do I fix my brain? That's when I discovered tapping 20 years ago.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You were finding it then.
Wow. So I started tapping and I realized that first and foremost, the first thing that happened was that my nervous system got regulated. So I wasn't feeling anxious. I wasn't feeling overwhelmed. And I could think clearly. And so that's when I realized it wasn't necessarily that my brain was broken, is that I was just very anxious. And so then I went deeper into my exploration and I realized I had what science calls ADHD. And so it was this moment of how do I fix my brain? But then now I know that my brain is not broken. It's just different. It's just 100%. Wired a little bit different. And you know, if you're into human design, one of my friends is a human design expert. She's like, you're just a manifesting generator.
You're supposed
to do all the things.
Are you a mani gen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Me too.
Yeah. She's a mani gen. I'm a projector.
Oh, yeah, well, my partner's a projector.
Ooh.
That's fun.
Yeah. We should get your mirror along to meet your friend because I want to have someone on here talk about human design.
Ilona Pamplona.
Okay. Yeah,
Pamplona.
That would be cool.
Shout out to Ilona Pamplona. She lives in Vegas.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, she's awesome. She wrote a book. Human design, maybe C or something like that.
I think too, as a fellow creative, because I'm also very creative.
Yeah.
You just naturally are kind of ADHD because there's so many interests and you're like, I want to paint. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to bake. I want to do all these things, whatever your creative endeavors are. And
totally.
I saw you talk, I'll ask you a question later about that. But I saw on your social media, you talk about art and things like that a lot. But yeah, I think that also just comes with a little ADHD. Like I feel like I have it too.
Totally. Yeah.
Our brains think different.
Yeah. Call it whatever you want. You're just very like into all the things. And I'm like, sure, whatever. And so all that exploration of like, how do I fix my brain led me into where I am today. And through all the discoveries, I got trained in EFT. And through the training, you're supposed to do a lot of peer tapping sessions. And I went into inner child work. And so I found my 6-year-old who was very much in pain and her voice was taken away and her identity. And that led her to her own knowing of who she was to be forgotten, because she then went into what people will accept. Because if I'm in my main character era when I'm 6 and people won't accept that, how do I grow up to be one? And so then the people pleasing came in and, you know, all the things.
And I feel like you're breaking multiple like you said, it's not just generational, it's cultural. I have so many friends growing up here that were also first generation from Mexico, and all of them had an issue using their voice. And I feel like that is a very, and they all grew up very strong, like strongly Catholic, you know, strong father figures.
I was gonna say, it also shows up in a lot of cultures.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just Hispanic culture. Like, I have clients that are from Muslim culture. Like, it's just any Indian culture, Muslim culture. It's just,
there's a lot of,
you obey your parents.
Yeah.
You don't say anything back. You say you're thankful and you're grateful and that's it. You know what I mean? And also there's this, and I'm sure there's also in Hispanic culture, but there's this one, we love to give, but there's also some ego in how much we give, right? Like, we are the givers in the family and we self-sacrifice. We are the martyr.
Yeah.
And so it shows up in like a lot of different cultures.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Galleta culture actually is rooted in Marianismo. And Marianismo, you know, machismo. We often talk about machismo. Marianismo is the glorification of the persona of the virgin.
But and being so good.
Correct.
So, yeah. Like, you're a good girl.
Correct.
Good girl
good
energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got
good
it.
Girl energy 100%. Yeah. And so that of like respect the authority and give, but stay humble. You know, you don't want to brag.
Yeah.
All those things.
I feel like I completely relate to
I
all
know,
of
we're
them.
Like, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
I really want to meet. I mean, it's so interesting. I feel like this is just so common among women. I know it comes up for men too, but I feel like it's very common for women that are just in these archetypes or are feeling this throughout their day. Like, I don't want to celebrate myself. I don't want to brag. I don't want to ask for what I want because for some reason it's going to make you upset or it's going to take away from you.
Yeah.
And I can't.
And that's also the mother energy feeds into that as well, because then it's like, well, now I sacrifice for my kids. Now I sacrifice for my family. And then that bleeds into work and then it never ends. It's you never put yourself first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And that's why I call it calladita culture, because it's not coming from one person or from one idea. It's a system from a combination of things. You know, we don't blame like, oh, this is the way that my grandma raised. No, it's because she was also raised that way.
Absolutely.
It's like generations of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you think the system came? Where do you think it came from?
It comes from a lot of things. So of course the patriarchy. It comes from Marianismo that I've already mentioned. It comes from that good girl persona or good girl conditioning or whatever it's called. It comes from also the idea that we need to prove ourselves in a way. And to your point earlier, it totally applies to multiple cultures. I call it galleta culture because I'm a Latina. I created it from my experience. But anytime I talk about it, people are like, oh, look.
Yes.
This whole other place, but I resonate. Because it's less about the origin, I think, and more about how it applies to us and how the wound gets into who we are, and we just kind of like.
Do you think religion has to play a part with it?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
I think even school too, like it's rooted in even just our capitalistic nature that we have a bell system, that you don't talk back to the teacher, that you're quiet and you listen, and then you go through this school system, and then it's like, now you get a job, now you have a boss. I mean, that's the typical path for most people across all boards, you know,
totally.
Or you go work for someone, whatever capacity that looks like.
Yeah. And it's that constant conditioning of respect and being controlled.
Yeah.
And like made to feel almost less than. Yeah.
Amazing. So what are some, I want to keep going on the wounds. You mentioned one of the wounds.
There's five.
There are five, right?
There's five wounds.
So what are the wounds?
So there's five wounds. It's the wound of silence. So that's the wound that keeps us quiet. But here's the thing. The five wounds, and the wounds came from my own exploration and all the wounds that I've healed. We started with seven and now we're down to five. And also from the hundreds of people that I've coached. And I tend to attract high achieving, first gens, eldest daughters, you know, not necessarily all Latinas. I also attract men. And the interesting thing that happens with men is that they were raised by a woman. And so those things were passed on, even on to regardless of the gender.
Yeah.
So we have the wound of silence that keeps us quiet, the wound of commitment that keeps us stuck, the wound of power that keeps us overwhelmed, the wound of, have them here, because, you know, when I'm put in this spot, I don't remember. The wound of identity that keeps us overlooked, and the wound of worth that keeps us underpaid.
That's a hard one.
That might
that
be the hardest
a big one.
Speak physics. I think that's my hardest one.
Yeah, it's a big one. That's the thing, that they, each wound, you can underdo it or overdo it.
Right.
Because I've come across, for example, even within the Latina community. So I grew up Mexican Catholic. So that is very like, head down, be quiet, submissive. The expectation of me is to just be quiet. I talk to my friends who are Caribbean from like Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, and they overcompensate.
Yeah, you're
the
right.
Silence.
They're much louder.
Yes,
and
they're much louder. They're significantly louder.
Yeah.
But that's the overcompensation.
Cuba. Yeah.
Because the silencing happens with you're too loud.
Makes sense. Yeah.
You know? And so like I undercompensate the silence. And yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, I am going to be the good girl.
Yeah.
Otherwise I get in trouble. There's a different side of it, of the wind of silence, that's like, I'm going to be the loudest in the room and I'm going to be seen.
Yeah.
But that's overly compensated.
And then they tell like they're too much.
Correct.
I had a Cuban friend that she was all, people always said, you're too big, you're too much,
yes.
Which is also the same silence.
Which is a way of silencing.
Yeah.
I'm Peruvian, soy peruana. And so my family is loud.
Yeah.
Not in the best way. And I'm also like the more quiet one, submissive one, to the point where I'm like, can we stop screaming? Also, like, why is the TV on at the same time in the background on full volume?
Her mom is amazing, though. She's like, yeah.
Karina.
Like, yeah. I mean, pure love. Pure love. Yeah. But, like, there's a lot of loudness. And even when you go back to, when we go back to Peru, like, sitting around the kitchen table, everyone's like, everyone's trying to get their voice heard.
Yes.
Everyone's just going up higher and higher. I'm like, whoa. I'm just going to sit here and observe you guys. You know,
and it's great.
Guys, it's great. Yeah. Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah. So all the wounds, you can undercompensate or you can overcompensate.
Can you give maybe another example of one of the other wounds?
So the wound of, so that's a wound of silence, a wound of power. It's a very common one. And then we can talk about the wound of worth. So the wound of power is where you either give your power away. So you don't know what you want. You're stuck. It's like the people that are like, oh, I don't know. The wound of power many times comes from very like maybe traditional families, or like if you come with a family of doctors and you're like, but I'm an artist, you know, like the wound of power is perhaps you became the doctor because that was the expectation, or you completely rebelled against it and you were like, I'm going to be the most opposite of it.
I laugh because my family's all lawyers and I'm an artist.
Right. There you go. Yes. So it's like the black sheep of the family, you know, like, oh, you're different.
Yeah.
The wound of identity also plays in that, because it's the expectation of who you need to be. And that comes from a lot of things, not just like career wise, but it could be like as an eldest daughter, for example. Like
so much pressure on the oldest child.
Pressure.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Like my dad called me the other day and he's like, tell me about your sister. And I'm like, why don't you call my sister? And he's like, no, I'm calling the boss. And I'm like, I'm not the boss.
I'm my own person.
Yes.
I want to be
call my sister.
Like, yeah. You're like, I don't know.
Right. So I'm like, I'm working, Dad. Call my sister.
Yeah.
But his relationship with my sister is not the same that he has with me. And so it's like, I need to stand in my power, take my power back and be like, you go talk to your daughter, heal that relationship. That's not mine to fix.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took a long time.
Can we snap? It's snap. So at Powerhouse Women, one of the cute things was like, they would say like, if the energy hits, you just go bad. So I'm like, I don't know if I want to start it. Like, give it a guess. Like, yes.
Keep
going.
Loud in the mic.
I like the snap.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh, it's so good.
Yeah. The wound of worth, for example, that one, I have a lot of clients to deal with that one. And myself too. So
I think that's
a very common
wound.
And I'm like, can we raise our hand?
Yeah.
And that's, it's fascinating to see the overcompensation and the undercompensation of the wound of worth, because the undercompensation is you're underpaid. You don't raise your hand. You don't ask for raises. You like.
You don't charge enough. You don't.
Right. Yeah. Right. I was there for a long time where I would do payroll and see my peers make more money.
Yeah.
And you were not.
You would be annoyed.
You would be annoyed, but you wouldn't ask for it.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So that's the undercompensation. The overcompensation of worth is when, and I have a couple of clients there, they're millionaires, billionaires, but they still don't feel enough. So it's the.
Never enough.
It's never enough. And it's, I keep checking the boxes and I still don't feel enough.
They still avoid.
Mm-hmm. Because the worthiness doesn't come from the external factor.
Right.
It comes from within. And so the wound is, the overcompensation of it is by checking all the boxes. Like on paper, you are the best, the greatest.
You have everything.
All the things.
Yeah.
But when you ask them, it's like, no, which is wild.
Yeah.
So in these examples, what is kind of the path or someone can start to take to kind of heal these wounds and like be with these wounds? And you can pick one or two or three of them if that's easier. But I'm curious, like, what is the path in your perspective?
So just like I shared my six-year-old, I'd love to go backwards into those moments, because I believe that all the versions of us that have dealt with the wounds still exist within us. And so if we get to explore, when was this taken away from me? What moment, what version of me is dealing with this the most? Because that's a version that comes and raises their hand. And so for me, my six-year-old would always come and be like, why are you not standing up? Why are you not saying anything? Why are you staying quiet? Why are you not owning it? And so allowing, giving yourself permission to have, first of all, awareness, like it exists. Because I think without awareness, then we just can keep
just chugging along.
Dilly-dallying, yeah. Ah, life. So awareness number one, understand that there's something. So maybe throughout all the things that we've talked about, people might be like, oh yeah. Then that's the awareness. And then give yourself permission to explore, how old does this feel? It's one of my favorite questions to ask.
I love that one. Yeah. I love that one.
How old does this emotion feel? And sometimes it could be way back when. I did a session once where we went to the wound. And yeah, that one was a little wild. Because my client had the wound of silence, very strong and fascinating. So his mom was drowning while they were in the wound. And so she couldn't talk. And the baby...
While she was in the womb.
Yeah.
Womb. Okay, so
the womb.
Yeah, the womb. Yeah, belly.
In the belly.
Yeah.
So the mom was pregnant.
Yeah.
With the client.
But she was drowning.
But the mom was drowning. Was at the beach drowning on vacation. And then the baby at that moment was like, I can't talk because the mom couldn't talk. And so then, like, that led into all these patterns.
Silencing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a whole nother
topic. That's a whole other thing, yeah.
But I believe that 100%, that every single thought, feeling, everything goes right to that child that you're having while you're...
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I have, like...
That's cool.
I have a very specific image of, like, me singing. It was just, I keep talking about this, like, me singing as a little girl. Mm-hmm. And my mom saying, like, stop, Karina, stop singing. And I don't think she meant it as like your singing is bad or your voice is bad, but that's how I perceived it.
Yes.
And so I think at the time, maybe she was on the phone or something that she was like, didn't need me to sing. But I interpreted that as like, Karina, your voice is ugly or sucks. You should be silent. You should be quiet. And I remember looking at the video, and I also go back to my inner child a lot. So I think it's just so helpful to go back to those moments and just like give that person or give that little me a little bit of love and reassurance and say, no, you are beautiful. Your voice matters. You can speak. You can sing. You can express yourself, whatever that is for you. But it's going back and redoing that from the back, from the past.
Yeah.
To your point.
Yeah. I think it's important. And also the other thing that I like to remind myself and others is that intention doesn't equal impact. And so oftentimes, because I have a lot of clients who are parents, and, you know, once we do inner child work with them, they're like, oh, my God, what am I gonna like?
How
I'm
going
to mess
this?
Up my kids.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought this up because there's parents that listen to this.
Yeah. And the answer is 100%. You are going to traumatize your kids because intention doesn't equal impact.
Yeah.
And to that story, I love that you shared it because the intention of your mom is perhaps she was on the phone.
Or something busy. Yeah.
Yeah. That was not her intention. But it's the impact and the interpretation and the perception that the child took. And kids are so imaginative. They make up shit all the time. Can I curse?
Yeah, you can. So, yes. And yes, they do.
You know, like you could be like, that's not what I said. Oh, that's what I imagined.
Yeah. Even so, as adults, we like reimagine our childhood and our parents are like, that didn't happen that way. And we're like, oh, it did. You know, it's like same thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of times I'll look back. My mom's like, I could have sworn that's what it was. And she's like, I didn't know it was it.
Like, yeah.
So
because we make things up.
Yeah.
Our brains just decide that certain things are whether
however we perceive the situation.
Yeah.
Because and there's nothing our parents can do.
There's nothing parents can do. So
just
what
do
I
do your best.
Yes. What I tell parents is, look, you're doing the best you can with what you have in this moment.
Yeah.
And you are also a human being. So you could be the most healed you've ever been.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a button that's going to be pushed that child came to push.
That's right. Literally. The little mirrors.
Yeah.
Good
Give
luck.
Yourself grace.
Yeah.
I've always thought about it because we do the work for ourselves, though. We can teach our kids and give them the tools to work through it themselves. Right. So like we can't protect them from feeling certain things, but we can say, hey, I'll teach you when they're ready to learn, right? Like, this is the process. I understand whatever that looks like. So us going through it is also going to be supportive for them.
Totally. And from a scientific perspective, it's been proven that when we heal forwards and backwards. There's like one of my favorite, the mice study, but they studied generations of mice. And on one end, they traumatized them. Just to make this the long story short, they traumatized the mice and they realized that 8 generations forward, after, didn't get traumatized. They just knew.
They still had the impact.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite ones. And so, and in that same lens, when we heal, we heal 7 generations and 7 generations forward and backwards. Wow. And so giving you, giving yourself that permission to own the fact that you're healing your own, and at the same time, it's going forwards and going backwards.
That's
and
a good incentive.
Yeah.
It's a great incentive.
It's like you're giving
such a great incentive. 7 years forward.
Yeah.
So we're good.
Super fun. You just have to get.
Start looking inside.
Yes. Awareness. Number one.
So what I wanted to pivot just a little bit, if that's okay, because I know you're also an artist, and I saw particularly one of your Instagram videos, you were talking about how art is never finished, like a teacher, I think, told you. And I would love to speak to that just as a fellow artist. And I know there's people out there that, one, I think everyone's creative, and I wonder if you agree, but I know a lot of people love to say, like, I'm not creative, or so maybe you can speak to that and what you say to those type of people. And also, like, that if you kind of tell that story or share a little more about, like, how art is never finished, because I feel like that's a great metaphor for just life in general.
Yes. And even your work, because, for example, the wounds of a Cayuta culture, I started with 7, and there were principles. And in my head, I thought, I'll share them to see how the world accepts them or not, because art's never finished. Your body of work is never finished. Whatever you do, your career, like, even whether you're a doctor, there's always something else to learn, always. And so, yeah, that's one of my favorite things to choose to believe is that my body of work is always a work in progress, just like my healing, just like my voice, just like owning my power. It's always going to be, there's always one more thing to learn, because perfection doesn't exist. And how boring would the world be if perfection existed? We'd just be like robots walking around.
Like everything would be black and white and perfect all the time. Yeah. Like, where's the
movie? It would be like Pleasantville. Yeah. Like that movie Pleasantville where they were turned to color.
So annoying. So boring. And so, and to everyone's creative, I agree 100%. Everyone's creative. I think I would invite people to look into their power to see where it was taken, because I think creativity comes, but it comes from your energy centers.
Yeah, your sacral chakra. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so that's many times where your power lies. And so when was it taken away so that you chose to believe that creativity, whatever that means, because creativity could be whatever. Yeah. My grandma was in the kitchen.
I was going to say, I try to tell people, like, you could be cooking, you could be sewing, you could be even like organizing a specific way to me is creativity, you know?
Yeah. Like all the organizers, 100%. That's your thing.
Yeah.
So whatever makes your heart sing. And I think also the world has created this idea that creativity needs to look a certain way. And it's up to us to challenge that and say, this is my way to be creative. And art's never finished, so don't tuck it away.
Yeah. So is it fair to also say that your fullest expression isn't finished?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I think we're the best we can be right now.
In this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Tomorrow I might call you and be like, I changed my mind, whatever I said.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Let's just say that. Like, that's okay. Like, change is okay. I want to loop in that a little bit more too, because I'm like, I think sometimes we're like, it's supposed to look this way. It's supposed to stay this way. And it's not even that. It's like more like, no, you're allowed to change. Even when I was coaching people, like, they'd be like, but I committed and I said yes to that. I was like, but you feel differently about it now. So why can't you go back and change it? Like, yes, you made your commitment. I get it. But you're new today, or maybe you're new 2 years from now, 3 years from now, whatever that looks like for you. And so it's really the ability to be with the present moment.
Mm-hmm. And they say that the body regenerates itself completely every 7 years. You know, plants die all the time. And they reborn all the time.
Yeah, we were talking about that in January.
We have the seasons. And I work a lot with the seasons. Yeah. 100%.
We need the season.
Oh, tell us a little bit more about that. Because we love talking about, we really try to help encourage people to follow more the seasons than say, like, strict, you know, every day. We had someone on talking about, like, maybe a smoothie in the dead of winter when you live in Michigan is not a great option for going with the season. So yeah, speak, how do you work with the seasons in your...
I started working with the seasons when I realized that as a cyclical being, so I'm a woman, so I cycle 4 times per month. And I realized that this thing that the people call ADHD gets affected by my hormones. And so my brain was a little funky every like so many weeks. And then it was really great. And I was like, what is this? And doctors didn't know.
Of course they didn't.
Because women are not worth studying.
Yeah, never.
We're just too expensive.
We're too expensive to study, because if science would study women, they would have to study us 4 times.
Through all the cycles.
Depending on where we
not
are.
Not even, I mean, cycle. To drive a little more from like one of our friends. She's like, we're literally different every single day of the month.
Yeah.
So like, if you really want to get a good research,
Yeah,
we're so expensive.
We had to spend every day researching us because we changed so much.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. As well, I had to get blood work, and my doctor was like, you have to go on the first day of your period before 11 p.m., before 11 a.m. And I'm like, this is the most specific thing. But yes, it's because
they're looking for
specific
hormone deficiencies.
Correct.
And so, yeah.
Yeah. And so we are that wild. And so when I couldn't get any answers as to why I was feeling great during some times and not so great during others, and it was like this like game of, how is it going to be today? I went into
who else does that?
Yeah. Like, I wonder, today, are we going to have a good day? How are the hormones going to react? I don't know. And so I realized that women cycle like the earth. And so I went into this like whole other deep rabbit hole of exploring and connecting my inner cycles with Mother Earth and how when I bleed, it's like winter. And really honoring how the earth is a teacher for us. And especially women, because she don't care. She's not going to grow any flowers when she's wintering, you know, because she needs to rest. And you're going to wait if you want some flowers for spring, because she's going to take her time. And so that also pissed me off, because I was like, this whole time, I've been conditioned to operate against
at the same capacity.
Clock. Yeah.
In every aspect of
with men.
The month. Yeah.
Yeah. When men are monocyclical, they rise and sleep with the sun.
Yep.
You know? So their compass is the sun, our compass is the moon. We're just not the same. And it got me kind of sad, because many times I felt so inadequate to do things, but it was really because I was just in a different mode.
Yeah.
I was wintering.
Yeah.
I was in autumn. I was shedding, you know? And so the seasons, I think they're great. I think nature is a great teacher for all of the things that we do. And I take nature as one of my biggest mentors for business and for life and for cycles. And to the point of, we change all the time. The earth changes all the time. And even with like, we feed the earth, you know, there's like looking at farmers. I love talking to farmers about like all the things, because they're like very like wise.
They're so tapped in because they're literally working with the earth every day.
All the time, and how sometimes they have to plant certain seeds and then they have to wait certain seasons to plant different seeds because they feed the earth in a different way and the soil just becomes something different. And so even like that regeneration is like, and why do we want to stay the same?
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. As I was hearing you speak too, it just sounds like the fact that we're different every day, the fact that we're different, you know, it's just, it's giving even more permission to all of us who are listening that we have flexibility, fluidity, adaptability. Like there's no like nothing that's like just is, right? It's everything. It's the yes and. It's in the duality. It's in the dance, which is I think so hard because most of our culture is so used to structure, black and white. This is what it is. This is right or wrong. Yes or no, right? And what's wild, especially for women, is like we are literally biologically made to go against that.
Yeah.
We did not come onto this earth saying like, this is how it's going to be every single day. This is what I can trust to show up for me today. You know, I can lean on this expectation, or I can expect this to happen. Because I think we find so much safety in that and control. But what you just spoke to was just like even more permission, I think, for women to like really listen and be like, you're all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of it. You're all of it. It's so beautiful.
And it's whatever you feel like today.
Yeah. And that's such a program too, like that you're supposed to be like a man, and that's all we have. Even fasting, cold plunge, all these things we talk about on the podcast is like, it's all been tested on men, looked at for men. I mean, it's just so sad that we're so shortchanged. And imagine like we're both advocates to really going deeper into finding your fullest expression and letting yourself rest and doing all these things, because at the end of the day, you actually can have more capacity when you get to this. And that's exactly what I know now after listening what you're teaching, which is if you want to actually reach your fullest capacity and get out of this kind of being silenced and suppressed, is like taking back your power and rest. Like that's part of it. That is part of taking your power back. Like actually not today. I don't need this today.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. And giving yourself permission to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we can.
Yeah.
So good.
Which why?
I love that.
Why do we spend so long like thinking we have to push?
Wow.
It's like, ew.
It's also hard. I mean, even energetically, you know, like there is a part of our world that's disconnected. You know, like you can get caught into like, I'm just going to jump on the train and we're just going to go, right? And we're over here saying, no, you should walk and like figure out how you feel, which is just not how the whole world is running, right? Yeah. There is this system, which I love that you call it a system.
Yeah.
That's been like implemented and it's seen in different ways. And it's really keeping us in this Gaia-Yuta culture.
Yeah.
I'm curious if your business, because I'm hearing what you were just saying, what Karina was just saying about like, that's not our culture. I think about 2020 and how the world stopped. And I feel like that was a big shift, almost like a wake-up call. I'm curious if you saw like an increase of more people being like, oh, damn, like I'm not okay, you know, because they finally had that moment. I mean, when in the world has the world just shut down fully where you have a moment to be like, oh, my God, like I remember my husband and I were just walking every day and like there was nothing else to do. You're just like, wow, this is amazing. Like there's no expectations. And yeah, could you speak to that a little bit?
I'm totally. Yeah, I think 2020 was a catalyst for a lot of inner exploration for a lot of people. For some that were overcompensating, you know, proving and checking the list and showing the success, then the world was like, we're just going to put the brakes on it and there's nothing else to prove. And so their identity was challenged in such ways that it was completely like pulled from them.
That makes sense. Yeah.
You know, and so that's why I think a lot of depression and sadness and loneliness, because the overcompensation was externally completely.
It was like a distraction.
Yes. And so then the world shut down and people were forced to look inward. And especially the people that were very outward, like your job was going into the office and you were seeing people all the time and the distractions. And so then there was no other option but to look inward. And it's really sad. Like, I think now that was a pause that allowed for a lot of shifts to happen. And sadly, we lost a lot of people. And I think in a good way, also a lot of people got to discover different things. Like creativity was something that
just blew
exploded
up.
Because people gave themselves permission to be.
I feel like now, 4 years later, we're all reflecting and realizing, oh, that was a moment that we had. Like, maybe I don't want to push anymore. Maybe I don't want to. I know the cost of living and all these other things have influenced this kind of midpoint we've gotten to, where I'm sure you're seeing it as well. Like $17 an hour, you can't survive on it. Like, it's not enough. Even $20 an hour is not enough. So it's like, is it even worth it anymore to like push yourself so hard and work these jobs and like you can't even survive off of it? So I see a lot of people questioning and wanting to shift this dynamic. And give a voice to exactly what you're speaking to.
It opened a lot of our eyes.
Yeah.
Because I think the program was such on autopilot. I don't know if you've seen the short of like the guy that like goes to sleep, wakes up in the morning, start like same cup of coffee. And then, you know, it's like.
Yeah. Repeat. Repeat.
Rinse repeat. Repeat. Rinse repeat. You know?
Yeah.
And 2020 happened and it was this like.
A massive
let
shift.
Me just like.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm tired actually. I don't want right. to do anymore.
Our nervous system got to feel finally.
It got to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think what you guys are saying, I think it's the impact on what happens when you just be.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think, yes, 2020 forced all of us to do that. It was kind of like, sorry, guys, the world's saying no, you got nothing else but to be.
Yeah.
But I think to take it back to the listeners a little bit more is like, you guys can create being in your day to day. You can create being right now. And we forget that is that easy. And I know it's a constant reminder. I'm not perfect either when it comes to this, but it's a constant, like when I do and like when I do allow myself to be, oh my God, it is the most beautiful medicine to my body, my creativity, my business, my relationships, everything. It just like, I'm like, oh, I'm here. Versus when I'm in this like chaotic mind, it just feels
chaotic.
Like chaotic. In a chaotic.
There's no sense of
connection.
No sense of feeling.
Yeah.
And so that was so beautiful. And now I want to turn it to you. And ask you a question about just like you personally. You know, you already mentioned that we're changing every single day and that we're evolving. And I'm so curious, where in your life can you be more fully expressed?
You know, I think what's coming up right now, because I thought about that question, what's coming up is a while back, I was speaking and someone introduced me. It was a panel. And so they introduced the rest of the people. And then when they got to me, it was someone I knew. So the moderator, I knew that person. And they were like, and here comes Pam. She does a lot of things. So here she comes. And I was like, I don't even deserve you. Read my bio. What? And so that kind of like took me to think a lot about how I show up and being creative and being this and being that. And so how do I be more like the fully expressed version of me is by honoring the various facets of me, even when people can't introduce me.
That's amazing.
We need to come up with another song.
No. I know.
Yeah, this is maybe like better. This feels like too dino or something.
And you can hear it.
Be like a bird.
Yeah. If you're just listening and you can't watch, we're just like folding our fingers over our hands and we look ridiculous. So
that could be a short. That could be a short. So I think is finally accepting the fact that I do a lot and I might be too much for some, and that's okay.
As a fellow overdoer. Like I
or if I owe all the things.
All the things is better. Yeah. Yeah. I can fully relate because that's a manifesting generator too.
It's just very much.
You're following your impulses. But yes. We don't live in a culture or society that invites that in and yes. starting to. But I think yes. as you and others like us own that, it's like, oh, you can be more than one thing and it's okay. You and you can also just be one thing. And that's cool too.
Yeah.
It's like amazing.
It's whatever rocks your boat in the moment. Because yeah. tomorrow I might be like, I just want to draw. Yeah.
You're like, that's what I do all the things. Thank you. I'm awesome.
Yes.
I mean, that's amazing.
At that moment, I couldn't own it, but now I do.
Yeah. I mean, that's really a gift because I am sure you receive compliments all the time because you're clearly very talented in many areas. That is a gift and something to be like admired and admonished instead of like, oh, she does all this stuff. It's like, no, she does all this stuff. It's crazy. Like, she's so good.
It comes in handy because I know a lot of very random facts about things.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm a good conversationalist because I'm always like, by the way, did you know that, you know, random fact? People are like, how do you know
that? And you're obviously a seeker of knowledge and you're curious. And we need curious people because they're the change makers and the leaders because they're willing to look beyond the structures and the norms.
I'm a Scorpio sun, so I go deep into
girl,
the depths.
She's an astrologist.
Sag.
Oh, yeah.
Rising. So there's always that.
Oh, yes. So looking for the truth, searching deep.
Let's play and have fun
That's
with
awesome.
It.
Yeah, totally. Sad. That's why you're so joyful as a Sag rising. That makes a lot of sense.
People tell me that all the time. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm like a Scorpio sun. Like, are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Are you like, ready?
I'm nice to you now. Yeah. You want in the center circle? You better prove yourself. You could be on the outside. You can listen. You can hang out. But you ain't
coming
in here.
And when you do, we're going to go deep.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome.
Let's go. I love that.
I love me a Scorpio.
So good. I'm dating a lot of Scorpio right now.
Well, actually, in
relation, we're engaged.
Scorpio.
Your fiance, he's Scorpio everything.
And Scorpio North.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got a lot of Scorpio.
A lot
the
of Scorpio.
Depths of the mystery, of the mysticness.
Yeah. I love depth. You know, we both love depth so much and vulnerability. So I definitely attracted someone with a lot of depth and a lot of vulnerability.
It's such a good challenge, though, because like my husband has Scorpio, too, and it really helps you. It makes you question. You just go deeper into
so
things.
Much.
It's amazing when you could do it yourself. You have it in you, but like to have someone else to help, like to have anyone, you in someone else's life, to be that one that's like, well, what about this? What about this? Let's look at this.
And we all need those people. We all need those people.
We do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We absolutely need those. And I actually invite those people. I'm like, come into my life.
Yeah.
Ask what do questions. You see that I don't see? Yeah. Ask me questions. Where can I go deeper? Yeah. Where can I go there? Like, I'm here for that.
My partner's an Aries sun.
Ooh.
And
that's an interesting match.
Always. I always get that. But he's a March Aries. I've dated lots of April Aries.
It's like the whole chart. I mean,
yeah.
You can't just take the suns. I'm sure there's a lot of compatibility in other places.
It's very interesting. It's very contrasting. But he's always like, do we need to talk about that today? And I'm like, yes.
Well, yeah, because he's either a Mercury in Aries or a Mercury in Taurus. So he's more like either ready to just speak the truth and walk away, or if he's a Taurus, it's like, does this feel safe? Does
probably
feel
the Taurus
like
he's a projector
depends, but,
and so you know
oh yeah you said that
I know so I'm always like
I will tell you that
you're like,
I love you
deep into this subject
tomorrow
like, must we
I'm like I have a lot of capacity. I like being very visionary, and there's a lot more than just the projector type that we know. But when it comes to the kind of energy that you guys
you're
have,
like,
we're just like,
let me put a bubble.
I'm like over here, like, where are my assistants?
Call me when it's time.
Yeah, tell me when I need to show up.
Yeah, it's funny when we were talking about the rebrand and everything. I'm like, I'll do this. I could do the website. I could do this. She's like, okay, if you feel you have
I'll
the capacity.
No, I'm always like, checking in on her. I'm like, do you feel like you have the capacity for right now? She's like, oh, yeah. I was like, all right, I'm just checking in.
Call me.
Yeah, call me. Exactly.
That's one thing I love. Like, it took me a while to understand is that we work really fast.
We do. And I relate so much to your story because I feel I was definitely like the quiet one in my family. I was the artist. Like, And it was the same. I had all these interests. And my mom's like, be a lawyer. You should be a lawyer. I'm like, oh, like that sounds horrific.
Yeah, gross. Cold and dark. Ugh, one way.
Like people, and I don't, the justice system's broken. I was like, that's hitting all the wrong buttons. Like I'm not going
there. My grandpa was a lawyer.
I'd be like crying in the courthouse, you know? I'd be like, he's innocent.
Too restrictive, yes.
It's way too much.
Reading is love.
Right, just trying to like tell the judge, like, you're being biased right now. I see it all over you. I don't appreciate it. You know, it would not be well. So yeah, I love, like, I always love when I meet other like manifesting genders or anyone that's just like an artist, because it's, I never was around that a lot as a kid, as I'm sure you probably weren't either.
I grew up with a mystical dad. And so that was
That's cool. Okay.
A brujo dad.
That's what you called him. It's like a witch dad.
But imagine for witch him, dad. Yeah. The wounds were deep, and they still are. He's an alcoholic. And so that's other part of my story that I got to see and witness from an outside point in him being othered because his dad suppressed. Was an attorney.
Yeah.
And so my grandpa was a lawyer, and he was all about like,
structure. My grandma was how it is.
Super Catholic, like good woman. And so then my dad, he's a musician by ear. So when he was three, he went to accompany his older siblings to a piano class. And when they got home, he started playing by what he heard.
By ear.
And so he has that like very creative. He became a musician. Then he taught me Reiki when I was 11 and all the things. But it was this like, I don't want to be othered. Like he was his whole life.
Yeah.
And so
his generation was hard though.
Yeah.
It wasn't as welcome. Like my mom, like I was 15. I mean, I was like anywhere between 12 and 15 when my mom started going through a healing journey. She was like a Reiki master. She was talking to spirits.
She was doing all this stuff.
And me as a little girl was like, Mom, you're crazy. And she came to it later in life. But I'm sure your dad, you know, I don't know, just that generation wasn't as welcoming as it.
Oh, yeah.
At least this generation is. There's so much curiosity and openness and people are searching for like, what's different? I want to know what's different. Different is cool. You know, it's even like, now uniqueness and authenticity is like, I want to get to know that. There's a lot more openness. So your dad probably,
totally. And that's one of the things that he says is that his generation came to open that.
Yeah. Space. And my dad says the same thing because he was a photographer, but that's what he wanted to do. And he became a lawyer. And he also collected crystals. And I remember in high school, he'd give me crystals and be like, I was dating someone and his mom was very religious. He was like, don't tell anyone. They'll think you're a witch, you know? And like, so I'm curious though, I know we're probably almost have to wrap up. I just have one last question. Do you feel like the work you've done now, do you see it like how it's affected your father in that sense? Like, does he express himself more in that arena?
Oh my
gosh.
And I think that's why he has, like, I'm his eldest daughter. And so he always tells me, like, you came to clear a lot of things. And I resisted it for a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I want to be like my dad. Like,
but that's incredible. He recognized that in you too.
Yeah. We had to do through a lot of like healing in our relationship because his humanity is, he's an absent father. He left when I was 11. He's an alcoholic. So
there's a lot happening.
There's a lot there. And we had to come to terms from at a soul level that I was here to clear a lot of the shit that he fucked like in his human self. And so I had to come to also accept that so I could be my fullest self, because me restricting my own mysticness and magic was not just rejecting him, which in a way I thought I was, but it was rejecting myself. And so accepting that was like,
ooh, I can feel like, well, why? I can hear like little girl, like, why am I the one that has to go through all these?
Yes.
Why am I carrying the fucking backpack?
Their
rocks are so heavy. Why do I have to be the strong one?
Yes.
You know, I can just hear that also in that.
Because you can.
That's why. Well, and we get to, you know, I think it's freedom for ourselves. Like to what you were saying, right? Like it was freedom that you found by working through that and like into your fullest expression. It was the path to leaning in. And a lot of people just find a lot of resistance, but you leaned in and found that freedom. So.
And it came from my dad telling me, you chose to be here and he chose me as your father. So go for it.
Yeah.
That was like, are you sure, soul? Why?
Well, I think a lot of us sometimes are like, really?
Can we just double tap on that?
Yeah.
Just tell me more.
Yeah. Switch a little bit. Did you push other buttons that you weren't supposed to?
Yeah, exactly. Did you push the wrong
yes.
thing?
Well, this podcast episode has been such a pleasure.
Yeah.
It was forever. Yeah, I was like, please come back. I love, you know,
love to have
I have a lot of friends that have ADHD. I was like, I could talk to you for hours.
No.
You know, because there's just so many things that you can go off of.
Yes.
But not just that. I think it's your creativity, your expression, your knowledge, your value, how much you've been doing this work. You've been podcasting since 2016, I think you said. So like,
yeah.
It was such a pleasure to have you on here. And I'm so glad that we've met. And thanks for like raising your hand to be on this podcast.
Sending my power.
I see you.
You can see when someone's really done the work and you have done the work, you know, and you exude that light.
Thank you.
And that's what everyone can strive to be, to find and embody.
It's worth it.
In their own way.
Yeah. It is worth it. It really is.
Sometimes people are like, I'm scared. And I'm like, well, do it scared.
Yeah.
Other do side it is worth
just
it.
Go.
So tell us or tell the audience where they can find you. Where's the best places to find you?
All over the socials. I have a love-hate relationship. I'm healing with social media. And so,
y'all? I feel like many of us are.
It's the running theme of all the guests have been on here.
Like, we want to show up more on social, but we don't. Also, like, same thing.
I mean, I think it's like
don't.
My Sag is like, show up and be playful. And then my Scorpio's like, nobody needs to know. Just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, Scorpio's like, who cares?
And also, like, it's hard. The more that you can't to Mother Earth is like the last thing I want to be is on social media. So it's like we have these confident parts of us. We'd be like, but I want to go this way. And we're like, we got to go this way.
And then the world is like, but you need more followers if you want work. And I'm like,
I know.
Yes.
We feel you.
So at Café Con Pam podcast on all the socials, cafecompam.com. Super easy.
Amazing. And all of it will be in the show notes and on our website.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It
looked like felt like a comadre talk. Get cheese my dog.
Love it.
So good.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
See you on the next one.